Welcome. Thank you for coming. I think almost all of you know that Michael is traveling to do a session in Taos, New Mexico in a couple of weeks, around a week or so, and then going back to Boulder. And Doug is with him also, so I'm talking today. And I wanted to talk about mind and awakening. Using more or less the words of our teachers, starting with Koban and going back a couple of levels from there. I also wanted to make a little notes in case I have corrections to add, but I'll try to... This is fairly short, I think, so I'll try to go through the first few pages and then I think it'll break up and we can have all kinds of discussion. The objective is to encourage our practice, primarily. So from Koban Chino, I pulled out three particular quotes that I thought were relevant. The first of which is that your mind extends to the stars, and this was just a personal comment that he made to me when I was talking about we were going out on a full moon ceremony. It was an interesting, mind-blowing thought. The second is on awakening. When people awake, they awake like coming out of a dream. Some awaken very fast. Some need the last day of their life to wake up from the dream. Oh my gosh, I am the last one. What was I doing? It is not just the work of the intellect. With the whole body you awaken. Whole world is awakening too. And when you awake you find, oh, this is it. That was not it. Even after awakening, you do not say, I don't need to sit anymore. In a very strong sense, awakening becomes sleep. When you say, this is it, and when you abide in it, it becomes again deepest dream. So constant effort is the essential of our life. That means life is the conquering of death. So constant effort is the conquering of death. Then another quote is, awakening mind, this is nothing but the function of life itself. The more you sense the rareness and value of your own life, the more you realize that how you manifest it is all your responsibility. We face a big task, so naturally, we sit down for a while. It's not an intended action, it's a natural action. And one of Koban's teachers, Suzuki Roshi, from Zen Center, has a set of collected lectures, I think most of you know about it, called Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind, that was actually given to the group that this particular group came from, and then it was taken back by San Francisco Zen Center and edited and processed into the book. In that, a number of quotes are, the true purpose of Zen is to see things as they are, to observe things as they are, and to let everything go as it goes. Zen practice is to open up our small mind. So concentrating is just an aid to help you realize big mind, or the mind that is everything. So I followed up and did some searching in big mind in the text of his book, using Google, and came up with a number of quotes that I thought were really relevant, and I even thought of reading some of the book to you, but that's kind of too laborious, and also I forgot to bring it. But some of his quotes are, big mind is something to express. In our practice, firm conviction of big mind, strong confidence, original mind, empty, responsive, flexible mind. Ordinary mind, small mind, no mind, and big mind are one. Smooth, free-thinking way of observation without stagnation. Soft, impenetrable, stable. When everything exists within your blue big mind, all dualistic relationships drop away. There is no distinction between heaven and earth. man and woman, teacher and disciple. Water and waves are one, big mind and small mind are one. Whatever you experience is an expression of big mind. And to try to summarize that, I put together the thought that ideally during Zazen, one is awake in notionless, desireless nirvana. That's it. My small mind drifts. My thoughts and my emotions keep coming up. And maintaining mindfulness is very, very difficult. You think, what are we doing? Is this sort of some migration from small to big mind? My ego changes in the process just of sitting in, particularly from year to year, from month to month. Working on koans such as who am I or what is this is what I do in a lot of the time in Zazen. And consciousness expands in the process. Yet I don't know where or what I am really in the process, except that things continue. I continue to function, I continue to speak, be. So there's some, to me, discrepancy between big mind, Suzuki Roshi's concept, and small mind, even though I know I should be just sitting. That's all. There's still the small mind is maybe the small mindedness, the distractions, the delusions, and so on. And there's big mind. And I thought some possible remedies for the small mind problems that other teachers have cited. The first one is watching the breath, even counting the breath. And I know our teachers, Michael, Anji, and others, don't really talk about counting, but counting even up to 10 is essentially can help. Returning to mindfulness every time you notice something is amiss. Alignment, particularly alignment, sitting erectly and keeping your... Dogen's phrase was to keep your nose above your navel, your ears above your shoulders and above your sitting bones. I tend to lean to the left. My head tends to go down in thinking. So that's, you know, when I think of alignment, which doesn't happen too often, maybe several times during Zazen, I'll straighten and pull my chin back and try to get my head and everything with this idea of a golden cord that extends up infinitely from the base of my being. The remedies include knowing, I'll get a little bit into psychology and ego later, but feminine in nature, sort of not part of the masculine conditioning. Instead, it's more feeling and sensing and being, I'm not trying to attain anything, not thinking. So opening this hand of thought, the small mind, was the title of Uchiyama's book, another of, not of Koban's teachers, but another eminent teacher in Japan who was concurrent with Koban and also had one of Koban's teachers, Koto Sawaki Roshi. And he has a good book on just opening the hand of thought, opening the small mind. He says, Zazen is the self doing itself. Actually, this was Koto Sawaki's words. Zazen is the self doing itself by itself. The universal self, selfing the self. Return Zen to its roots as our flesh and bones practice. Not so much small mind or big mind, it's flesh and bones. That's what's happening. The nerves, the nervous system. Another way of putting this that was attributed to the sixth patriarch in China, Weinang, is at all times, in every moment of your mind, you must purify your mind by your own effort. See your own teachings by your own practice. See your own Buddha by your own exercise, reform yourself by observing your own commandments. All things considered, my choice, an obligation, given what I know, is to love Big Mind and awakening. I don't have a special path to Big Mind. Just knowing what I know sort of obligates me to try. I knew Copeland for 40 years, 30 years that he was alive, and I know a lot just from being at Jikoji. And that means, to me, with best efforts, and without, you know, even though I have a lot of feelings and incompetence and so on, my intention is an aspect of small mind, and what I actually do, think and perceive and feel, does not remotely accord with any of my ideals, including loving Big Mind. To love is a problem, particularly, I think, for guys. It's not something that we were conditioned to be able to do, at least many of us. Practice itself is just enjoying and appreciating Big Mind with rest and relaxation concurrent with posture and mindfulness. The alignment, the attention to the breathing, essentially let you relax. Zazen does its work by itself. So if you can maintain posture and awareness and breathing, it's not really what you're doing that's practicing. It's Zazen itself. So there are a lot of koans that I thought that sort of point in the same direction, so I picked them up and tried to put them together, and then I'm a little bit in danger of quoting them out of context and therefore giving up misunderstandings, but the first one on awakening was reportedly what Buddha found when he first awakened after, you know, it's 5 years of intensive practice and asceticism. And he said, "Wonderful, everyone and everything is enlightenment." Another from the not quite sure the source, so probably someone can tell me, but there's this line, I think the Jewel Mirror Samadhi, "You are not it, it is you." Another one from some student of Zen, a monk, was to the monk was sort of wondering about the effects of other people on his practice and his relations, and the master said something like, "You are not it. No, it's from birth to death, it is just you." Another one, in Dokusan, a Jesuit who was studying Zen was an advanced student, and he said to the master that in his Zazen it was like there were two things, there was himself and there was God. And the master said, "Soon it will be just you." And the Jesuit said to the master, "I would prefer it were just God." The master said, "Exactly what I said, Father." Another one comes from the context of a long koan, but two monks. The first one was busily sweeping. The second, asked him, "You are very busy." And the first monk said, "You should know there is one who is not busy." And the first one said, "So there are two moons?" And the second said, "Which moon is this?" The line that I understand or feel as representative of big mind is the one who is not busy. Thich Nhat Hanh said something like, peace is all around you and within you. Touching on it, we can be healed and transformed. It's not a matter of theory or ideal, it's practice. Practice of touching on peace. Lama Surya Das, a Tibetan teacher, has a title of a book called Awakening to the Sacred. And to me, that's a little bit about what awakening is about. But it's also just awakening to being ourselves. The other notion that I think comes into this is I think Giroux had a talk maybe 3 weeks ago, maybe 3 months ago, on anatta, dukkha, and anicca, the three marks of Buddhism. There's actually a fourth one in Uchiyama's book. The three that he cited were suffering, non-self, and impermanence. But the fourth one is this mark of reality is exactly what it is. Everything is reality. Everything is actualization. Everything is God, in Greg's term. There's a question in my mind, if this is all as it is, you know, why is it this way? why isn't it something else? If consciousness is such as it is, why? And what is mind? There's a lot of scientific background and speculation. Science, incidentally, is as big a puzzle to, or mind is as big a puzzle to science, I think, as it is to most religions. But it's not unconnected, I think, is the first thing. Even your small mind is not unconnected to the sacred. So that's the important thing to come about. I got into this topic because I was interested in ego and subpersonalities and archetypes. And those are, psychological, how the small mind develops, how it's conditioned, and they're from Freud, primarily thinking in terms of the ego itself, how we understand ourselves. The id, the underlying driving emotions, and the superego. We tell ourselves we should be this or that and the other things. And we do this continuously, at least I do in Zazen. I should be attention. I should not be daydreaming. So I think I'm going to leave it with that and see if there's any one who wants to comment or ask questions or discuss any aspect. So, Greg?
I never met Colin. Colin. While he was alive. And I've heard a number of people speak about him, but I was just wondering, was there any one quality that particularly impressed you about him?
Thank you very much. I meant to say that and I'd forgotten. Kindness and warm-heartedness. There's an article in the recent winter edition of Tricycle Magazine entitled Koban Chino Otagawa Roshi, Remembering a Warm-Hearted Roshi. And it's by a student that some of us knew, I think